Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us on this rainy, cool day. It's a very cloudy, very rainy day here. It's very cold. I don't know what it's like where you are, but I hope that you're having a good day. And I hope that it's in fact about to get even better as we get to come together and meet with our Lord, to hear from Him, to open His Word so that we can grow in our relationship with Him, know Him better so that we can trust Him. That's our whole purpose in having these times together. And that's why I look forward to these times. They're a blessing to me. I pray that they are to you as well, and that they help you in your walk, your relationship with the Lord. I thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible for us. But again, I pray that they are a blessing for you. And as we come together before our Lord and open His Word, seek His face, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the day that you have given unto us, O Lord. Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace. Father, thank you for your sufficiency. Father, thank you for how you have already provided for us everything we've needed up to this point in time in the day. Father, thank you. We can trust you for the rest of this day and, Lord, for all the circumstances in our life. Father, thank you that we can come together this way, Lord, and meet with you in your word. Father, thank you that you want us to know you. And Lord, as we come before you, we come as your children, Lord, wanting to know you better. Lord God, needing to know you better, needing your strength, your guidance, your understanding. Father, we long, O God, to be near to you. Father, we need you. We want you. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we open God's Word this afternoon, or whatever time it is, this afternoon for me when I film this, as we open God's Word today, we come to a topic that we need to see. It's in fact the threat that is in fact posed by evil people. You know, we've all are very well aware that we live in a very evil, wicked world, whether you're talking about the violent criminal element that's on the street, whether you're talking about the individual who uses fraud to take things from other people, or whether you're talking about individuals who have power and influence, whether it's in government or finance or commerce or education or media or whatever, we all realize that we live in a world that's in fact filled with evil people and filled with the consequences of their works. We may have had personal experience with that on some level, and probably have. We certainly have friends or family who have shared with us what they have experienced. We can keep up with the news, keep up with events, and we see the reality of wicked people. Well, how do we respond to that? How do we handle living in a world that is filled with evil, violent, wicked people? Well, this is exactly what we see as we look at Psalm 64, a psalm of David. David, obviously, throughout his life, faced the reality of evil, wicked people, and violent, evil, wicked people at that. And as we look at this psalm, we see what you and I need to do as our response as we live in a world full of evil, wicked people. Think with me as we'll read through the psalm to begin with, beginning in verse 1. Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from dread of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers, from the tumult of those who do iniquity, who have sharpened their tongue like a sword. They aimed bitter speech as their arrow. They to shoot from concealment at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. They hold fast to themselves an evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, who can see them? They devise injustices, saying, we are ready with a well-conceived plot, for the inward thought and the heart of a man are deep. But God will shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they will be wounded, so they will make him stumble. Their own tongue is against them. All who see them will shake the head. Then all men will fear, and they will declare the work of God and will consider what he has done. The righteous man will be glad in the Lord and will take refuge in him, and all the upright in heart will glory. Again, you study David's life. He was very well aware of evil, wicked people, violent, evil, wicked people, in fact. And yet, as we look at this psalm, we see David's response, and it's a response that we need to not only understand, but implement in our lives as we live in this world. As we begin looking at this passage, the first thing that we need to look at might seem to be redundant, but it is an absolute essential for us. Is number one, we need to see the reality of the wicked. Again, I know we've already discussed them. We've already talked about how we all know them, have seen them, maybe personally encountered them. We know those who do. We keep up with the news. And yet we need to understand the reality of them, both in their existence and what moves and drives them. You think about what we see again in verses 3 through 6. Who have sharpened their tongue like a sword. They aim bitter speech as their arrow, to shoot from concealment at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. They hold fast to themselves an evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, who can see them? They devise injustices, saying, we are ready with a well-conceived plot, for the inward thought and heart of a man are deep. David, as he is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit there, clearly tells the existence of the wicked. He talks about their nature. He talks about the danger that they in fact pose. They pose it that a danger, in fact, in their words, as you see there, verse 3, sharpen their tongue like a sword, aim bitter speech as their arrow. They're also dangerous in their schemes. You think about verses 4 and 5, to shoot from concealment at the blameless. You know, the picture there is almost like a deer hunter in a stand, you know, waiting for the deer to walk by. That's how the evil are. You know, they put themselves in a position where they can hurt, where they can harm, where they can wrong, and they wait for that opportune moment. They wait for their shot, so to speak. We see the injustices that they practice there in verse 6. They devise injustices, saying, we're ready with a well-conceived plot, for the inward thought and heart of a man are deep. They desire to take. They desire to wrong. They desire to hurt. They desire to harm. As we live in this world, we must know the existence and the nature of the wicked. God's word makes it very clear. I know, you know, we live in a time now that's where the Christian faith is very much is under attack. I'm old enough to remember in my youth, it was merely looked upon as a crutch for the feeble-minded and the gullible, the naive, if you will. But the reality is, it's the Bible-believing Christian who understands the reality of this world in which we live, that it is a sinful, fallen world, that it is under the rulership of Satan, and that rulership, seen through this wicked world system, seen through individuals who, in fact, don't know God, separated from Him, under the rule and authority of Satan, their work is seen. And again, you probably have personally encountered it on some level, probably multiple times. You know, friends and family who have. We certainly see the evidences of it on the news. But we need to always remind ourselves of the reality of this world system in which we live. As believers, we live in a hostile environment. This world system, and by world system, I'm not talking about the created order, I'm not talking about the mass of humanity, but I'm talking about this world system, this man's society that ignores and rebels against God, is in fact hostile to us. And there are those within it, many within it in fact, who desire to harm others, wrong others, whether economically, physically on the street, whatever the case may be. We need to understand that reality. Our first response is to understand the reality, because if we don't, we'll be caught blindsided. We'll be caught flat-footed. We'll be mystified by what we see. As believers, we really shouldn't be mystified by anything we see. As we've commented before, you know, when some individual, whether it's in terms of physical violence or does something financially, when the first time it's done by an individual, you know, the non-believer goes around thinking about how could someone do that? As Bible-believing Christians, our response ought to be, I'm surprised someone hasn't done it before now. We need to understand the reality of the wicked. But notice, David moved on from that, and as we must, to look at the response to the wicked. Think about how we see this in this passage and what that involves. It means that, A, we need to seek God's protection. Look again at verses 1 and 2. Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from dread of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers, from the tumult of those who do iniquity. You know, it's interesting there. David not only prays for God to deliver him from what the wicked want to do, but David also prays for protection from his fear of the wicked. Again, you think about what he said the latter part of verse 1. Preserve my life from dread of the enemy. You know, just a moment ago, we talked about how as believers, we understand the reality of this world system in which we live. But that understanding should not drive us to paranoia, to some sort of a crippling fear, some sort of paralyzing fear that many times is worse than what the wicked intend to do. The consequences in some ways are the same. It's so easy to be so focused on protecting and guarding ourselves that we choke ourselves and don't actually experience life. And David here is praying for God to protect him, yes, from the wicked, but also from his fear of the wicked. Now, don't misunderstand me. Our understanding of this world system ought to lead us to walk in wisdom, prudence. We need to be vigilant. We need to have our eyes open. You know, the old expression, don't take any wooden nickels. We need to understand, yeah, this world system wants to give us wooden nickels all the time, things that are worthless, and make us pay for things that are worthless, and give our lives to that which is worthless. And we need to be wise. We need to be discerning. But we also don't need to be so focused on that and worried about that we cripple ourselves. We need to seek God's protection and rest in the protection that He gives. But not only do we need to seek God's protection, but notice as well, we need to trust God's justice. Look at verses 7 and 8. But God will shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they will be wounded. So they will make him stumble. Their own tongue is against them. All who see them will shake the head. God will in fact hold them accountable. He'll hold them accountable consequentially. And by that I mean that God will allow them to experience the consequences of their own sin. You think about what we read over in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, where it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. Sooner or later, in God's perfect justice, they will in fact reap what they have sown. And so God judges them consequentially. Sometimes God does it directly. You think about what we see in Romans chapter 12, verses 18 and 19. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. God will, in fact, hold them accountable with his justice. Consequentially, them reaping what they have sown, directly as he judges them. Now, I know many times we look around and we think certain individuals are getting by with it. You know, we see violent individuals on the street. We think that they're getting away with it. We see powerful individuals who seem to be getting away with it. Well, they're not. God may be letting them go at this time, but understand they're simply accruing interest on his judgment. So we've quoted Matthew Henry before, the wheels of God's justice may grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. The longer God waits to judge, the more severe his judgment always is. We need to, in fact, trust the fact that God will judge the wicked. And we need to rest in that. We need to seek God's protection. We need to, in fact, trust God's justice. But notice what else. See, we need to recognize God's greatness. Look what we see down in verse 9. Then all men will fear, and they will declare the work of God and will consider what he has done. They will see the greatness of God. You know, what they will see then as a result of God's justice is what we have the opportunity to see now as we walk with him and in fact as we trust him. Here again, as we see it repeated in God's word and as we repeat it in our times together, here again we see the importance of knowing who God is, being in his word and allowing him to show us his greatness. Because it's amazing, the more we see of God, the more we see of his greatness, his power, his glory, his sovereignty, the smaller problems become. and the more easy it is for us to trust God in the midst of those problems. When we see God in His greatness, all these wicked that we see around us, whether it's on the street or in positions of power or wherever it may be, it's amazing how their power, their influence, their size begins to shrink. We need to recognize God in His greatness. But then notice lastly, we need to glorify God in His goodness. You think about what we read in verse 10. The righteous man will be glad in the Lord and will take refuge in Him, and all the upright in heart will glory. We need, in fact, glorify God's goodness. It strengthens our faith. It also serves as a witness and a testimony for the lost, but also for the struggling believer. But we need to glorify God's goodness, the fact that it is God who rules and reigns, and that He is, in fact, trustworthy. David, as he lived his life, knew the reality of sinful, wicked people. But you think about how he handled it. And you think of the difference it makes in this psalm. You think about how this psalm began, and then you think about how it ends. Verse 1, "Hear my voice, O God, and my complaint. Preserve my life from the dread of the enemy." Right there in the midst of facing them. Preserve me. But then notice how it ends again in verse 10. The righteous man will be glad in the Lord and will take refuge in Him, and all the upright in heart will glory. Why? What had David done that enabled him to do that? You think about how David responded. How David, in fact, how he had looked at God's greatness and trusted God's justice. How David, in fact, recognized that God ruled and reigned. You think about where David's focus and attention was. He turned it back on God. And so today, as we live and we in a very wicked world, an evil world, and you right now today may be dealing with an issue where there's an evil person who has or is trying to hurt you in some way, occupationally, financially, relationally, whatever the case may be, turn your heart toward God. Look at Him and His greatness. Trust the fact that in His righteousness He will deal with them. Focus upon His greatness. Testify of Him. And like David, even in the midst of the problem, you'll be able to say, "The righteous man will be glad in the Lord and will take refuge in Him, and all the upright in heart will glory." The problem wasn't over at that point, but David could rest in the Lord. We're still in this world system, but we can still rest in the Lord. You may be still in the midst of that problem, but you can rest in the Lord. We have a God because of His greatness and justice, power, might, we can trust even in the midst of a very wicked world. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for this day. Lord, that You are a God who's worthy of our trust. Lord, as we look at this world system, Father, may we know, O Lord, the reality of the wicked, their existence, their plans, their purposes. Father, may we always have that on our mind, but not be gripped with fear about it, O Lord. May our focus, our heart be upon You, looking to You, Lord, for Your righteousness, Your justice, Your goodness, Your trustworthiness. May we rest in You, and as a result, as even in these times, know Your joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I pray as you go through this day that you truly will be, as David described there in verse 10, taking refuge in the Lord and your heart knowing His glory. Hope that you have His joy, His fullness, His richness. I hope that you're able to walk with Him and have a great day in Him.